Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. If you have been following along, you know that we are making our way through the Major Arcana. We have only 5 cards left, and then we've completed the entire major keys of the tarot. We are going to start today with the Star. And again, let me preface this by telling everybody who might just be tuning in for the first time, this is another teaching episode. This is, you know, my effort to help you understand the tarot a little bit more. So I hope that it has been useful thus far. We are going to now begin with the Star, which is number 17 of the Major Arcana. After the Tower card, which is what we last reviewed, the Fool moves towards the Star. In this card, you see a naked woman who's kneeling, and she has one foot on land and the other in the water. This image is similar to the one that we see in the Temperance card with the angel doing the same action, essentially. In this case, the woman is pouring water into the pond, and water from one jug she's also pouring on land. We see in the card a bright yellow 8-pointed star, which is shining above her head, and she is surrounded by 7 white stars as well, likely representing the 7 chakras. The ground around her is green and fertile. When the Fool encounters the Star, he or she is entering a period of peace, healing, and restoration. Remember, during the Tower experience, the Fool was forced to address his or her current beliefs, and essentially, the Fool had to endure a really tough experience of destruction, disaster, really a massive fall from grace in some way. But now, after this really tough experience, some sort of major life crises, the Fool enters a period of healing. This is a period of calm. However, it's necessary for the Fool to have faith during this time. After surviving some sort of trauma, many people need the faith to go on, and this card is asking you to have that type of faith. It is the calm after the storm, ushering in some sort of period of renewal in the person's life. Now, given the 8-pointed star and the chakra stars in the card, it definitely implies spiritual healing, or at least trusting in spirit or having faith in spirit to heal you after the Tower experience. This is also a time of hope, and at least of hope being restored. You are being asked, or the Fool is being asked in this case, to restore his or her faith in the universe. The keywords here are healing, hope, faith, peace, positivity, renewal. Upright, it will be a positive card. If we look at the numerology, it's a number 17, and if we add 1 plus 7, it's the 8. And 8 takes us back to the message of the Strength card here in the major keys. And the Strength card was all about resilience and having that inner power, the inner strength to get through hard times, which is an important message for the Fool during the healing period of the Star. If we look at this card in the reverse position, it actually indicates a loss of hope and a loss of faith after having suffered through the Tower. This person likely has a negative outlook as opposed to the positive outlook that you would have in the upright position. It can also indicate negative beliefs that have really kind of soared to the surface because of what's happened in the Tower situation, and that person is, or the Fool is, unable to kind of get over it. However, in the reverse position, it's reminding you to try to find a way to restore hope and faith, and, you know, things will get better. Next, we have the Moon, which is number 18. So after the Star, The Fool then encounters the teachings or the lessons of the moon. In this card, you see a full moon above the same two pillars that we saw in the High Priestess and in the Justice card. So again, a reoccurring theme. Additionally, we see a small pond, and I believe it's a crayfish, exiting the pond onto a path that leads all the way to the pillars and onwards towards the mountains. You know, the mountains usually are tests, trials, obstacles that we hope have to overcome, are really huge lessons for us. So if you see those in the card that are very steep, know that that's kind of the symbology there or the meaning of that. We also see a wolf and a dog on either side of the path, which represents our wild nature, but also our tamed nature. So after the star, or at least after the tower and the star, the Fool then encounters the moon, which is a period of uncertainty. If you think about the tower experience, or some sort of period of destruction and change, and then we have, you know, the star card where we rest, heal, and renew ourselves, we're then mostly starting off on some sort of new journey, and that one is completely uncertain. If we remember with the tower, our lives were built on, or at least the Fool's lives were built on, a faulty foundation, and he or she likely suffered a lot, you know, during that time period or during that experience, and again, likely has to start all over with some facet of their life, whatever it is. Thus, this journey is one into the unknown with only the light of the moon to guide us. And this journey is likely going to bring us some of the lessons we had to tackle before, or at least some of the lessons that the Fool had to already tackle. But it's important in this case, you know, for the Fool to allow his or her intuition to guide them as they move past those pillars again. Now remember, the pillars were present in the High Priestess card, and she was all about having our intuitive voice guide us. There's a lot of anxiety that we experience when we have to travel the road less traveled, right? Or at least traverse this unknown territory. Usually when we are forced into the unknown, a lot of fears come to the surface, and our fears can deceive us about what lies ahead. Some of our negative tendencies will usually surface when we walk into unknown territory, and then we usually start to engage in negative self-talk. It takes us down that really dark path, and there's a lot of self-deception. I do want to say, you know, with this card, it can indicate some sort of deception when you're on this journey of the unknown, but it's a warning to heed your inner voice. It could be self-deception, or perhaps you may encounter that on your journey as well. It's also a call to realizing that everything isn't as it seems. With only the light of the moon to guide you, or at least guide the Fool or whomever, you know, we don't see everything. And this is important because in reference to, let's say you're reading for someone or you encounter someone who is asking about their work life, a new partnership, a financial deal, or what have you, and you pull the moon card, then it's kind of a warning in a way, like, hey, be careful, because again, all that glitters is not gold. Everything may not be as it appears. And trusting your intuition is super important before making any decision. If you remember that the major arcana, you know, these are lessons that the Fool, or even ourselves, like, we have to learn these for our spiritual growth to evolve. And maybe remembering that or keeping that at the forefront of your brain will make you feel a little bit better about the journey ahead if you pull the moon card. And you know, while you are on this unknown journey, what is fated for you or for the Fool, it's going to foster your evolution. So even though it may look dark and you may not have all the answers, and it looks like there might be some tough terrain ahead, which is what you kind of see in the moon card, we all know it's about our spiritual growth and for really the evolution of our spirit. But it's important, again, that we heed our intuition. The key words here are fear, deception, illusion, anxiety, and even some sort of confusion. The numerology here, the number is 18 for the moon card. 1 + 8 = 9, which is, it brings us the message of the Hermit. Therefore, the lesson of the Hermit is very important here, And the Hermit is all about wisdom and knowledge, the spiritual knowledge. And the lesson, or if we remember when the Fool encountered, you know, the Hermit was, you know, could have been a mentor, someone to teach the Fool about the spiritual realms and knowledge of all that is, right? Very important for us when we are here in the illusory world, in the material world. It gives us a better understanding of how things work and what the real reality is here, right? And it's an accumulation, at least the Fool should have accumulated some sort of spiritual knowledge when they encountered the Hermit. And the fact that the numerology here corresponds also to the Hermit is a reminder that that information is super important when you are being, I don't like to use the word forced, but when you have to go on a journey of the unknown, then that's when you have to really, really, again, rely on that spiritual philosophy that you practice, that you believe in, to help get you through the journey, especially when there are too many unknown variables. In a reversed position, the Moon can indicate that it's actually kind of a good thing sometimes that you've actually overcome your fears and your anxieties by listening to your inner voice. It also can indicate that you are trusting your own inner guidance on this journey. Perhaps you're overcoming the confusion and maybe your anxiety is finally beginning to fall, you know, fade away. There's also, upon my research, some people, when they get this card, it can actually indicate your dreams, and perhaps that your dreams are trying to send you a message or some clues, and you're being told to like pay attention and heed the messages that you're getting from your dream state. Okay, guys, next we have the Sun card, and this is number 19. So after the Moon, the Fool encounters the Sun, and this is a very happy card. And you see a young child who's riding a white horse, holding this red banner. There are sunflowers behind him and a huge yellow sun in the background. So when the Fool meets the Sun, he or she is in for really good times in their lives. Success is at hand, achievement is in hand, and there's just an overall sense of joy in this card. It is particularly happy, super positive. The Fool feels vitality from the life-giving force of the Sun, and they're positive about the present, and they're optimistic about the future. Nothing negative here. And really, the Fool is starting to see the bright side of things, which again, just coming off of the Moon where things were uncertain, entering another period of joy, happiness, and maybe even some clarity here, they feel energized for the journey ahead. Definitely this card is indicative of good journey. Essentially, life is good here. And you know, whenever I look at this card, obviously the color yellow pops out quite brightly. And it's important to reference the chakras here for this card, especially because yellow is the solar plexus chakra. And that chakra is all about confidence and self-empowerment and strength, which, you know, I think kind of sums up the Sun card in itself. The key words here are joy, success, happiness, positivity, optimism, accomplishment, all things good, really. With numerology, we have this card being number 19. 1 + 9 = 10, which brings us the message of the Wheel of Fortune. And the Wheel of Fortune is all about the cycle of completion. So it's also indicative of good fortune. So you are on the up cycle of things, and that's really what this is all about. In the reversed position, it could indicate that something is blocking your ability to be positive, or it's blocking your overall, I would say, positive outlook, or even your ability to be optimistic. Something is preventing you from being able to see the bright side of things. Also, given, I would say, the child's demeanor in this card, where he or she, I think it's a girl, looks very carefree and naked, just joyful, it could indicate that it's time for you to work on your inner child, have some fun in your life, put some more joy in your life, and yes, heed the pull of your inner child and pay attention to that as well. All right, guys, we are moving on to the Judgment card, number 20. It's interesting to talk about this card because I've met people who struggle big time with the judgment card, and even I struggle on and off sometimes with reading it, but that's where your intuition really comes in. And, you know, looking at the cards around the judgment card can kind of give you some clarity as well. So after, you know, this fun in the sun experience, the Fool meets judgment. In this card, we do see Archangel Gabriel overhead blowing a trumpet to the people below. Attached to the trumpet is a white flag of peace with a red cross, implying some sort of crossroads. Below, the people are naked, having been awakened from their coffins. There are huge snow-capped mountains in the background. I do want to say really quick, some people think this is a tidal wave. Understood. Agree it could be. The scene is very reminiscent, I think, of the Last Judgment in the Bible and even the resurrection as well. Resurrection is about, you know, waking up from a deep sleep to be judged for your actions in your life. Essentially, you know, a life review happens here. At least that's kind of the point of being reawakened, right? Is it some sort of an assessment here? The people that are rising up seem to be prepared to receive their judgment. This card, however, is really a judgment of the self, as opposed to being judged from above. Obviously, from Christianity and other belief systems, there is an overall belief that you will be judged, condemned, assessed in some way from, quote unquote, the God above. But here, this is more about assessing the self and coming to terms with your actions. The Fool has learned many life lessons at this point, at least that is the hope. And he or she has had a number of ups and downs. And after much reflection, the Fool has had some very profound realizations, which is kind of what you hope happens after you're sitting down and kind of, for lack of a better word, judging the self, performing your life review, which we kind of do on and off in life, especially during moments of crises, moments of loss, unexpected situations, right? We should be sitting down and reflecting. So this card indicates that these profound realizations are actually spiritual in nature, hence the archangel above. And after kind of going through these realizations or this time of self-reflection, it will lead to some sort of awakening that will shift the Fool's consciousness. That is the hope. The Fool will gain profound understanding that will change their outlook and overall perception of a situation, or even will shift the perception of life itself. Therefore, this card can indicate some sort of awakening, some sort of epiphany, realization about something, maybe a situation, a person, a relationship, maybe even your job, right? Or just about the nature of creation itself, your or independent life. There is some sort of rebirth happening here, which again is messy, but rebirth cannot happen until there is an honest inner self assessment. The key words here are judgment, rebirth, epiphany, sometimes a rude awakening. One thing I probably also should mention, sometimes it could actually mean, there could be a very literal interpretation of this card where it means being judged or sometimes judging something. And your interpretation, or when you're judging something, it's usually quote unquote correct, okay? The numerology here is 20, which, you know, 2 + 0 = 2, which brings us to the High Priestess. And this is interesting that this would come up again. I feel like she comes up all the time, actually. And again, the High Priestess is someone who holds secret knowledge, who has the secret information, but she also, you know, teaches you. Again, that it's important to heed your intuition, listen to the inner voice, because it carries the wisdom of all that is, which is necessary when you are doing any type of self-reflection work. The epiphany that you had, the realization that you had, comes from the knowledge and the wisdom of the higher self, or of the intuition, right? That inner voice is what is alerting you, was being used to awaken. Okay, so now we are going to move to, oh, wait a minute, reversed. Let's not forget that. So in the reverse position, the Judgment card is actually kind of about not answering the call, which again kind of happens when the Judgment card is upright. Like there's this call to awaken, there's this call to understand, this call to come to terms and realization with your life. And not answering the call is what happens when you get this card in the reversed position. In life, in certain periods of life, we do feel called to do something. We do feel called, you know, to a point, like to a crossroads where there's a need to awaken and to have a rebirth in essence. And if you are avoiding that, if you are denying it, if you're too afraid to do it, if you're too afraid to sit down and assess yourself, then likely this card is going to come up reversed. If you are also, and this is almost a literal interpretation, if you're judging yourself too much or if you're being overly critical of yourself, that is also a meaning attached to the card in the reversed position. All right, everybody. We have made it to the very last card in the Major Arcana, and it ends with the World, which is card number 21. After Judgment, the Fool moves towards the World. In other decks, I've seen this titled the Universe card. So in the World card, we see a nude woman. She's holding two wands surrounded by a huge laurel wreath. Similar to the Wheel of Fortune, we see in the four corners a lion, a bull, an eagle, and a cherub, which symbolize the elements and the four suits of the minor arcana. Now remember, the Wheel of Fortune was about what? Completion, completion, completion. This is very similar here as well. This card signals completion. It signals achievement, success, and accomplishment. And we see this especially through the symbology of the laurel wreath, which always indicates some sort of success. It is also about achieving one's goals and completing a cycle in life and experiencing some sort of fulfillment. It is also about wholeness, a unification of the inner and the outer selves, which if you really think about the entire journey that we moved through the Major Arcana, there were a lot of lessons about the outer world and the inner world and how to balance them. And here, when the Fool gets here, they have learned how to integrate, which is incredibly important because that is also what we are supposed to do here. At least that is an overarching goal. This card indicates a completion of lessons learned. And yes, an integration of lessons learned from all of the experiences, the easier and the tougher experiences as well. This card can also indicate finding closure with in reference to some sort of situation. The keywords here are wholeness, completion, achievement, fulfillment, and unity. In numerology, the 2 + 1 = 3, which is the energy of the Empress, who again is all about nurturing, who is about creativity, abundance, and the manifestation, bringing something into the material world and the birth of something, finally, like the fruition of something, which again speaks to the World card here. In a reverse position, the World means that something has yet to be completed. Something is delaying the completion of a project or a goal or whatever it is you're trying to do. There's also a lack of fulfillment here associated with the situation. I deem this card in the reverse position, unfinished business. If we, again, upright, it's about completion. Reversed, there's something that's, it's not complete, it's incomplete, but I always have deemed it unfinished business here. Usually, if you pull this card in reference to a relationship in the reversed position, it just means that, again, there's some unfinished business associated with that relationship. There's a need to find closure, and closure brings completion. You know, again, as we moved through the Major Arcana, I did this sequentially. However, as we are all aware, life is not that way. We go through in and out of certain lessons, or they come back around
over and over and over again until we really understand them, right? And then some of these cards, as I told you at the start, are themes in your life. And they may be themes more in your life than somebody else. But I encourage you, if you do want to work really strongly with the tarot, build a relationship. Number one, pull one card every day. Mix the deck very well and talk to the tarot. It is, I feel like it is an active divination tool. There is a lot of power behind it. And if you build that relationship, the messages that you get will come faster and they will become clearer over time. The other thing that I told you all to do, and this is, again, you don't have to, but it is a mere suggestion here. If you're really trying to understand the themes that are going on in your life, or at least understand, you know, the cycle that you are currently undergoing of learning related to some sort of overarching learning for your spirit, you can ask the tarot, what is that cycle? What is that lesson? And pull one card, and chances are you're either at the beginning, the middle, or middle, very long extension of that experience, or maybe it's coming to a close. But I do encourage you to do this. I started doing this a few years ago, actually, and it's been very informative. And also sometimes it's hard to quote unquote hear some of those lessons, and they can be tough and recurring, but they give you some sort of insight into the types of problems that you've been experiencing, because there is a profound lesson. And again, if you go through these meanings, again, that I gave you, but also, you know, read other great books. I highly recommend Holistic Tarot and anything by Bridget Esselmont. They're super helpful. And I think both women are great writers. They can teach you the lessons that you're learning, but also even give you kind of like those action steps to help you overcome the obstacles. You may not overcome them immediately, and maybe this lesson will come up again a few years later to make sure you've actually learned it, but it gives you some insight and it helps you kind of work through it. As I've told you all again, but I feel like it bears repeating here, if you want a deeper relationship with the tarot, I do recommend you sleep with one card under your pillow, talk to the card before you go to sleep, ask what lessons it wants to teach you, and then see what you get. I do say keep a journal by your bed, because you might wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, and you might want to jot something down. Meditating with the card as well, super important. It will be very alive, and you may see things that you didn't expect, and you may get interpretations that you never would have thought for that card. And I think I told you guys this at the start. I don't remember, so I really apologize if I'm repeating here. But when I first started learning, the one thing I definitely did was meditate. You know, I first would mix the card, and then I would ask which card is very important for me, you know, at the moment. What do I really need to learn? And at the very start, the magician came out several times. So I sat down, cleared my chakras, protected myself, and then I held the magician and I asked him what he wanted to show me. And sure enough, I was in that card. It was the most bizarre and cool experience. And he stepped aside and he showed me four doors and asked me to pick a door. And when I pulled open one of the doors, all of these pentacles rolled out and I could hear them rolling out around me. It was interesting. And then as I moved through the deck, some of the cards would actually introduce new cards to me. Like people from like the court cards would come out and start talking to me and bring me into their world and would show me things. And that's why I say it's a very active and dynamic divination tool. It has very strong energy, and yes, clear your deck always and have good intentions behind it, but respect the message that it's trying to tell you and trust the message. There's a reason for it. You guys, I really hope that this has been super helpful for you, and I hope that you were able to benefit in some way. I understand that learning this deck can be overwhelming. There's a lot to it, but keep it simple at the start. And trust that, you know, even if you have a totally separate interpretation of the card, keep that meaning. Don't deviate. There's a reason for it. I'm trying to think of a card that I have a totally bizarre meaning of. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I'll go to the Justice card. It's probably not a bizarre meaning, but one of the lessons that, you know, just telling you, I was going to say privately, but I guess not, that I've been going through for the past, good God, 3 to 4 years, which is hard to say, has been the Justice card. And I've gotten it all the time for now several years, even though I don't have any legal cases pending. So I know that there's a bigger message here. And for me, it was about two things, like the law of karma and cause and effect, that I really needed to learn and integrate. So when I see that card and I'm reading for someone, for me, my mind automatically goes to those lessons for that person. It's not going to go to a legal or some sort of impending case, because I've never experienced that. And also because my intuition has learned to, or I've given it a very particular meaning. Let's just say that. So sometimes, you know, you may attribute a message to a card that someone else, you know, thinks it's totally crazy. Don't worry about that and don't listen. Other things I wanted to say very quickly, you know, when you're just starting to learn and you're practicing with friends, and I know we're just talking about the major arcana here, but, you know, when you're practicing, some people will tell you, no, that's not what it means, or they have their own meaning for it, and they want to tell you their meaning and that their meaning is right. Trust your own. Just keep your own message. Don't feel like the message isn't as strong as someone else's. You know, you are the person, you are the messenger. You're giving them the guidance. So trust the meaning that you've attributed to the card, and don't waver so much. There's a reason why you have that meaning, and your spiritual team and your higher self is working through you to give that particular message, because that's the message the person needs to hear, right? Okay, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As I have gone through all of these cards, I tried to keep it relatively short. We will be making our way. Yes, more cards to come. We'll be making our way through all of the Suit of the Wands, Pentacles, Swords, and the Cups in the upcoming weeks. I will try to keep it a little bit short. But yeah, thank you again for listening, everybody. It's been a journey for me to go through these cards so explicitly again, but I've also learned so much. Until next week, please have a very safe week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.